I do hope that everyone had a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles and last great day. And it is good to see everyone here, and even the visitors. Welcome to you for being here today. And for those on the WebEx, hope everything is going well and going through clearly. As I mentioned, we were in Jekyll Island, had a beautiful time, beautiful weather, and God kept all those hurricanes and storms away. So that was even an answered prayer there. We had very inspiring messages from God's Word, His truth, good Bible studies, some very interesting information was brought out, and the closeness with our spiritual family. That, among everything else, was very wonderful to see. It was a blessing. Compared to last year, where there were incidents of COVID and sickness. And I don't recall any issues this year. No sniffles, no hardly any coughing. And if there were any, they stayed home and rested and relaxed and kept it from being there at the congregation. It was a wonderful time. Catching up with people that we haven't seen in a while, in years, months, weeks. Renewing those friendships is always great. Meeting people from other church areas, from Canada, all across the United States. And God did grant us with good health and safety, there and back. And just witnessing the warmth of God's people, just as we witness here each Sabbath, that we're together on God's holy day. And support for one another. And all the different areas of people working behind the scenes and all that support went hand in hand. I chose a title for my message today, which is Cry Out to God. Cry Out to God. And that was due to the events that were brought out during the feast and near the last great day. Of the events that's occurred in Israel, in Guatemala. I mean, can you think back and remember when you heard that news, that information? What was your first thought when you heard that information? And it was confirmed, so you knew it was real information that you were being given. Personally, my first thought was, that's our family. Our family members are in these areas. Go to God in prayer, instant prayer for His protection, His guidance, His answers to this area that we are being told about. Because we can see in the times around us today, in today's world, the times we're living in today, and what we see, what we witness, what we hear about. We need God in our life much, much more each and every day. Mr. Shaby put out a memo. I want to read an excerpt from that to start off the message here. Because within his message, he kept bringing out us. We, family, and what we should be doing. Telling me we need to draw closer to one another. Draw closer as a body of Christ going forward. Quoting from Mr. Shaby's memo, just a brief excerpt from it. He said, "Your continuing prayers for the situation in Guatemala and Israel are deeply appreciated and requested. God is our Savior, provider, deliverer, and Father, who loves us and will see us through all the situations we encounter in life. He is always there always aware, always by our side. You can feel that, right? God is by your side. God is with us. We learn to trust and put our faith more in Him. Something we will need to learn and build into our lives. In character, as we see the world continue its downward spiral into the evil and difficult place it is prophesied to become as the return of Jesus Christ draws near. Brethren, these times can be trying. We would agree with that, right? These times can be trying. These times can take us by surprise because no one sees them coming. Through it all, Christ reminds us, don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Look to Him. Return to Him and trust Him. Continuing on with Mr. Shavey's memo, as we see the world changing into a place we no longer recognize, don't be discouraged. Rather, be encouraged as you see prophetic events occur and the time of Christ's return draws near. God has called us. God does the calling. God has called us to these times and gives us His Spirit to guide, to direct, to encourage, to teach, and comfort us, His family, us. Let us use these times to draw closer to Him, closer to each other. Coming out of this world and becoming the people collectively and individually He wants us to become. End quote. If you would, please turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the New King James Version on scriptures today. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And He did all of that for us. And He is there by His Father for us. Family, and continuing with that family and that one-ment, that unity of the body, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12 through 14. For as the body is one, and has many members, we are part of that body that we're speaking of here. For as a body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in the fact, the body is not one member, but many. And that's why we need to seriously consider the days ahead of how we need to be drawing closer as that body of Christ, as our individual member of that body, to go to God in prayer for one another, to go to God to ask for support and for favors, for protection on His people around this world. Wherever we are, we're all of one body. We're all a member of that body. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Each and every one of us have a purpose. God has called us for that purpose that He has for us. Verse 20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. There cannot be a schism in that body. It has to be joined in unity together. Verses 25 through 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. As God cares for His family, we should care for our family. Just as God cares for us, we should be showing that outgoing love and concern. Because of the news from Guatemala and Israel, verse 26, and if one member suffers, members of that body were in these areas. They were in danger. God was there protecting them. But if one member suffers, all the members suffer for it or with it. Where if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We all rejoice that God, our Father, is there for that protection, for them, as well as for us, because they are part of the family, our family. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We need to keep driving that home in our life every day. Especially when we hear news of what's going on in this world. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to continue this line, this flow about the body as the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting off in verse 14 and 15. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? We just celebrated that during the feast in the eighth day, knowing what is ahead, what God has called us for, to serve with Jesus Christ upon His return. For those that have yet to know and understand about God's way, to call the rest of mankind, to learn, for us to be teachers and priests. Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. We are unified. God has called us. We are unified by His Holy Spirit. By that being the members of that body, we're to see and to make sure that it functions properly. If we have problems, we need to share that so that we all can come together as that body, as members, to pray about what needs to be prayed about, to assist whatever needs to be assisted with. And we need to start remembering that the actual human body doesn't actually, my index finger doesn't do things by itself, not working with the other body. Just as we cannot just work by ourselves and think we can do everything. You'll wear yourself out. We need to work together, come together as a body of Christ, as God's people, loving, sharing, helping in the days to come. So we don't know what's ahead of us, as Mr. Shebe said. We don't know what direction things are coming from. God has shown us his prophecies. We know things are happening. We know things are progressing to Christ's return. But will we be ready? Are we preparing for that? Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We did not think this up. God gifted that to us. God called us. And we can see the trials. We can see miracles. We have talked about miracles. We have been shown miracles throughout God's word. But even at the feast, there were trials discussed. There were miracles discussed. And that's a wonderful thing because it helps us to pray for those people, to thank them for sharing. Miracles were witnessed. And I want to share a personal note here. I hope you bear with me. They were witnessed within our family by having our daughter Jennifer, her husband Tony Borogero. You've heard the name. There have been prayer requests for Tony Borogero of all the trials and surgeries and so forth. Well, he was there at the feast in Jekyll Island. Excuse me. And he was very touched by the warmth that was shown him. He enjoyed being there. He appreciated being there. We appreciated seeing him there and having him with us. He even became good friends with a deacon from the Canadian church area because this individual was a farmer. Our son-in-law, Tony, is a farmer. They had mutual interest. And it carried out rather well throughout the feast. It was nice seeing that communication between the two. But the other wonderful thing was that our son, Randy Jr., and his daughter, our youngest granddaughter, actually visited midway of the feast. I'm sorry, it is emotional, but I'll try to get through this. And they went to service as well with us. He even started asking questions about the church. He lives in Chattanooga. Well, Mr. Wendt's assistant coordinator was Marcus Lucas. He's the associate pastor of Chattanooga as well as a couple other churches. So my son got to meet him, talk to him a little bit. Turns out they're the same age, although my son is a senior over Marcus by a few months. They got a big laugh out of that. But it was very heartwarming, touching, to see this. Who knows? God does the calling. God may be working in their lives. You know, that is something that we need to pray about as a family. You know, there are moments of rejoicing and growing, which we had at this feast in Jekyll. And I'm sure you did too. Hearing God's scriptures, God's truth, and God opening up understanding of scriptures that we've read time and time and time again. But at this feast, there were those moments where things clicked. Things were very clear. And you sat there and realized God is opening up more of his truth, more of the understanding. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts? And after hearing some of the messages and some of the things brought out, especially in Bible studies, to myself, I felt like you're just barely scratching the surface of God's truth, God's word. It is so in depth. So much love written in these words that God has had recorded for us. It's amazing of what has yet to be revealed, is what is there for us to dig deeper into in our own studies and our reading, our praying and meditating. But there was another moment in Jekyll, which, if you're like me, you like to get there early, you like to get set up, prepared, rested before everything starts, which we did 2 days early. So 2 days before the feast, the check-in went smoothly. We went out, had a wonderful meal, got our groceries, went back, everything's fine. Next day was preparation day at Jekyll for the hall. Ready for that? Ready to go? Something's missing. I lost my cash. I told my wife, well, that was her piece of money, so, you know. Didn't go over very well because she knows I joke, but it's no joking matter for her. But literally, I did. I lost, misplaced, lost whatever, money. And you have these things just beat you up. They worry you. You think about it, and it interrupts your flow. Well, I did not want that to interrupt the feast, which was beginning that evening, that Friday evening. Searched, called the restaurant, nothing. So I had to accept it. Okay, it was gone. Get over it. Get on with life, which we did. But also had friendly advice there from people at Jekyll. Go back and search again. Go back and look. Retrace your steps, which I did 3 times. Still nothing. Well, what's the title of my sermon here? Cry out to God? Did I cry out to God? No, I must admit, I did not cry out to God. I prayed about it, but I did not cry out to God. Did I rejoice in this trial? Because I felt it to be a trial. No, not really. I did not rejoice in it. But I felt that I eventually accepted it and felt that whoever may have found what I lost needed it more than I did. And that's what I prayed about as well. You know, we can thank God and still not be thankful in our emotions. However, we cannot rejoice in the bad things without an attitude of joy in us. It is important to note that it is possible to be sorrowful and joyful at the same time. Because sorrow is a response to our soul or heart, and joyfulness is an expression of God's Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit. To rejoice in something that appears to be damaging is to see the benefits that come from it. You might ask, well, Randy, did you learn anything from this? Well, yeah, I did. It reminded me what I had lost was God's money that God had put me in charge of. That was God's second tithe for our use at God's feast. And it showed me, or it motivated me, to do better, to be a better steward of God's property. Everything belongs to God. Everything is God's. But also the urgency of prayer. Instead of physically wearing yourself out, running around, first thing that should have been done was pray to God about it. And a confirmation of the vulnerability of possessions and the need to set our heart and our mind on spiritual matters. What matters the most in our life should be God above any physical. That focus, that spiritual focus, that spiritual awareness. Because God can do anything, everything. God is supreme. But it was also an opportunity to evaluate. Maybe you've had situations like this where I may just be talking to the microphone here, but I feel that this is a topic that people can identify with throughout your life, maybe even now. It's an opportunity to evaluate or examine our priorities and consider God's spiritual guidance in these types of matters, and also to heed advice. Believe it or not, I had advice before we left for the feast. That advice was, don't take so much cash. Put it in the bank. Use your card. And this is the first time I've ever taken cash to a feast site. I learned a big lesson. Now, who in here remembers Paul Harvey? A few people. And what was his comment that he would make about, and now the rest of the story? Well, and now the rest of the story. Yesterday, Friday morning, I was taking my wife out for breakfast. And it just so happened that the shirt I selected out of my closet turned out to be the shirt I wore to Jekyll Island that day. What's that bulge? It was a cowboy shirt that has snaps. Okay, well, what did I do with that shirt at Jekyll? I put it in the bottom of the hamper. And we didn't wash clothes until we got back. So it was there. The whole feast. What was the bulge? It was God's money. The money I thought I had lost, which I had lost, but I'd misplaced it. What was God showing me? I could see God's hand through this whole event. Because I gave a sermonette, a sermonette in Jekyll. You know what the title of my sermonette was? Our thoroughness is known by God. How thorough was I looking for this lost money? Well, obviously, not thorough enough. So I could see God showing me, well, Randy, you're not as thorough as you really think you are. You need to concentrate more. You need to focus more. And I do. And I've learned that. I checked everything else. But who would have thought a shirt? Because it wasn't in my shirt. It was in my pocket. And mentally, my mind just kept going to the pants pocket. Not a shirt. And that's where God safely placed it. Boom, it's there. Here you go. Well, that money's in the bank now. I'm not looking for that money again. I know where it's at. But it's something I've learned and hopefully to remember and apply in the future. And that reminded me of a parable of the lost coin. You see in Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. I mean, I can laugh about it now, but I will admit, it not only bothered me, but it bothered my family. But we knew that we were okay. We knew that we would be okay. Whether it was found or not, God was there. We would be okay. Luke 15, verse 8. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." Verse 10, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And we also saw that during the feast days and the last great day, of these people that will be taught God's truth. There's going to be a lot of rejoicing when people learn why they were born. What is the truth? What is ahead of them? What is God wanting to gift them with? To be a very part of his family. Again, I hope you could relate to that story in your own life and think about moments that may have occurred to you. Because God's word is a pearl of great price. And we should be searching its depth, each day to uncover the beauty and deeper truths awaiting us in God's word. It's there. We just have to dig for it, to ask God. One of the songs we sang was talking about ask. To ask God for more understanding and wisdom, to grow in his word. And we find that in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. We ask God because we are acknowledging our smallness and relating to God's greatness. God wants us to ask. To seek is something that takes an effort on our part. It takes work. It takes desire. We must desire this life. We seek God because we admit that we do not know. We have a lot of learning left to do. We seek God because we admit that we do not understand. There's a lot that we do not understand yet, but God is willing to show us that understanding. We seek God because we need him. And God wants us to need him. Why do we knock? Because there's no other place to go. Where are you going to knock? You're knocking at the very presence of God. You're wanting the truth. You're not going to find the truth anywhere else. Definitely not in this world that's out there, and how they think and how they act. Now things are tumbling and spiraling out of control. God is where we find the truth. King David knew that in his writings, a man known as a person or man after God's own heart. And he clearly shows us by his example that's recorded for us in God's word, a very clear distinction between prayer and crying out. You see that throughout the Psalms. King David expressed through his cries and his prayers to God. What can we learn from this? Because what King David was expressing, we ourselves should be expressing as well. He was expressing his humility, conquering pride by seeking God. To not be prideful in this life, but seek God with humility. His expression of helplessness without God in his life. We are helpless without God in our life. God provides all things. He protects us. He looks out after his family. And King David had a lot of people after him. I'm sure he felt helpless a lot, but he went to God for his protection. Excuse me just a second. King David's pleading for God's mercy, expressed his own unworthiness, how he felt unworthy, but he knew that he had to go to God, seeking God's mercy. And David's total surrender, as we should have total surrender to God, wanting to do only God's will. Because it's all good when it's related to God. All good. Just to show a couple of Psalms here where David expressed crying out and praying to God. Psalm 17, verse 1. Psalm 17, verse 1. It says, a prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Now, I Googled the Hebrew definition of crying out to God. I don't know how to pronounce the word, so I won't even attempt it. But it says it's a call for help. It's a cry out for help. Crying to God for help is what David was doing. But it also says that praying is crying out to God in your soul. You're praying, you're communicating to God through your prayers. Praying is calling out to God. To cry out means to involve every bit of your mind, your body, your soul, your emotion, and your heart. Your whole package. Crying out to God. And I think we need to be crying out more as time progresses and definitely praying more in our lives. Praying takes training, working at it effectively to be more effective in our prayers. Christ showed his disciples in Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. I won't turn there, but this is where he talks about one of his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. You can read those verses, Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. But it takes training, not just repeating words, but being very in depth of who we're praying for. There's a lot of members of the body. We all have need of prayers, whether you're looking through the directory of the church, whether you're looking online, whether you're hearing news reports from Cincinnati, whatever it may be, we're all around the world. I don't know where everybody is, but I know we're all around the world, and we're part of one body and one family. But it says a cry takes no training. I mean, does a baby, newborn baby, take training, classes to learn how to cry? No. I mean, the mothers out there, I'll ask you a question. When you hear your baby whimper, do you take the time to stop and go check on your baby? But if your baby starts crying, does that bring a different type of response, a different type of urgency? And we do know that from a proper repeat, you tend to see kids who know that if they want attention, they learn that process. Just as people in today's world learn these processes, especially where there's no law enforcement, and they know that they can do whatever they want and not be punished, that we see in this world as well. But our Father, God our Father, He wants to hear from His children. And we're not to be approaching God to force Him to meet our needs. No, we're not going to force God to do anything. We need to be very truthful. We need to be very honest, very humble when we go to our Father. In Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17, we see where King David stated in verse 16 of Psalm 55, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. There is coming a time, because our adversary, the devil, is seeking to destroy us, seeking to destroy God's work. We know that. He will influence this world, the beast, false prophet, whomever, various governments, leaders, has been prophesied. It's coming. We're to be ready. We're to be prepared. Another excerpt from Mr. Shavey's memo, at the very end, he talks about, we are all family. So let's keep that in the forefront of our mind. We're all family. We're all part of God's family. We live in difficult times, but these times strengthen us if we look more fully to God, continually putting our trust in Him. Mr. Shavey says, take care. Keep your eyes focused on God. and pray in earnest for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. That time is ahead of us. We need to be a part of it. Remember, we are God's children. He is our loving Father. And as we continue, and we must continue to watch and to see prophesied events continuing to unfold, let's be ready. Let's be prepared. Let's fully trust in God and His power. We need to continue to cry out to God and keep praying always for each and every one of us and those that God calls. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. It's good to see everybody back.
Just a reminder for the teen class after services. I know you all remembered that because your memory is better than mine. If you take your hymnals, we will close services now with hymn number 119. Good thing it's not Psalm number 119, or we'd be here a long time. Hymn number 119, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord. We'll close with prayer by Mr. Moses Summers.
Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace.
Sabbath service. We thank you for your protection when I travel to and from your Feast of Tabernacles. Help us all to continue to be Kingdom of God focused, that we look to you to teach us your way of life, to be able to confront all difficulties or challenges that we face in our lives. We thank you for your protection daily. Pray that you will be with each of those families that are yet still traveling home, and be, and especially our brethren in Guatemala, that that situation will clear up and so that those brethren can arrive safely to their destination. Pray that you'll be with us, each of us, and watch over us, protect us as we travel home, and bring us safely once again to be taught your way of life. And we thank you and pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who asks. Amen.
Спасибо. 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 Спасибо.